Is there anyone here who likes to move? I hope some of you move. Now don't get nervous. I want you to move with me. Yes, I want us to move from one place to another place. I don't want to live in Lodabar. And I don't want you to live there either. Here's the story. Saul is king. He's angry at David. Throws his javelin, if you recall, at David, and a lot of bad things take place. One of Saul's sons is named Jonathan, and David and Jonathan are best of friends. They make a covenant with each other, a promise. Sort of like you may have done as a teenager with a friend of yesteryear. You become blood brothers. And Jonathan and David promised each other that if anything should happen, they would take care of, they would provide resources for anyone that would remain of their family. I'm sure when they did this, they did not realize that really Jonathan would die, Saul would be killed as well, and David would eventually be the king. That's where we pick up the story here in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Saul is dead, Jonathan is dead, and David is now king. David calls in his advisors and he asks, "Is there anyone of the house of Saul that's left living?" Customary in those days it was for the incoming administration to kill all the other families. Aren't you glad we don't do that in American politics today? One servant of Saul says, "There is somebody left." Ziba says his name is Mephibosheth. Would you say that with me? Mephibosheth. I was going to include this in the scripture reading, but Stephanie said, "Daddy, don't put any difficult words in there." David listens intently as the news comes back to him. Jonathan has a son. He's living down in Lodabar, but he's crippled. Now, what was the oath or the pledge that had been made? David had pledged to Jonathan, "I will take care of your family. If something happens to you, I will give them food and shelter. Don't you worry about it." And now he discovers that a son of Jonathan is still living. In verse 5, it tells us what David's response would be. He says, "Then King David, he sent, and he had this long-lost son brought back to Jerusalem." Now, I want to make a comparison today between Lodabar and where some of you may be. I know this to be a fact because most of humanity today is either living in Lodabar or we visit there. Mephibosheth was living in Lodabar, not of his own choosing. You say, "Pastor Wendell, where are you going with this sermon?" As the transition was taking place between King Saul and David, Mephibosheth's nurse thought she was doing him a favor. And she very well could have been. But in her haste to leave, somehow she tripped. The baby fell. He was about 4 or 5 years old. I can imagine the burden the nurse would have been, the servant would have had carrying that child, running away, maybe carrying all she could gather up quickly on her back. But in that fall, the baby becomes crippled and he never recovers. She runs to a place most unsuspecting for kingship to retire. She goes to this place of Lodabar. Would you say that with me? Lodabar. Lodabar, from what I have read, is not the place that you would choose to live. If you were living in Lodabar in those days, you would want to move out if you could. But there's a problem. Lodabar was the place where people could run if they were unwelcome anywhere else. Poverty-stricken, disease-ridden, economically, perhaps mentally challenged were the citizens that were there. And Mephibosheth is taken there, not of his own choosing. Why can't he leave? Well, his feet are crippled. He can't just get up and walk away. But yet he has royal blood flowing in his veins, and he's living, quote, now, in this symbolic place of poverty and disease. Why doesn't he do anything about it? He doesn't know that he can. Tim told a story here the other Sabbath, and I'm sure you know who this is and where this is. A lady attends evangelistic meetings and she decides to receive Christ. Her husband, not of the Christian faith, is very upset and distraught. He withholds food from her when she comes home from church on Sabbath. He abuses her in marriage. She gets beaten up by her own family. I think of that as living in Lodabar, but not of your own choosing. There's a lot of difference between where Mephibosheth lived and his circumstance and where David lived and his lifestyle. Have any of you men ever taken a shotgun and just shot at a paper target? You should try it sometime. Sometimes it blows a hole out in the center if you're close to it. If you're shooting buckshot, well then it shoots out about 6 or 8 different size pellets and they spread out and they go boom, boom, boom all at one time. I began on this sermon and it was just like a shotgun. I just started writing and writing and writing and I filled the whole page up, 2 pages. I couldn't stop. When I started going back over it, it appeared like, well, this is a shotgun approach. You're covering everything at one time, not always in order of priority. If Lodabar can represent that which is challenging to us, then we need to get out of Lodabar. If you live in Lodabar, you don't have good cable. The only entertainment you have is the devil's radio, in which it constantly produces the words, you are no good, you're crazy, you cannot be better. There's no real genuine love there expressed to you in Lodabar, because genuine love can only be reflected, it can only originate from Christ. And Christ is not there in Lodabar. There are no happy marriages in that place. Divorce and separation is common. And if you're there, you need to get out. Because if you stay there, your children will live there as well. There's no humility. There's no meekness. There's no long-suffering in Lodabar. I've expressed to you before my interest in psychology and how people think. We do so much damage to each other when we're small. I wanted our prayer to be just a little bit longer, Paul, this morning for Lucas, but he was starting to fret a little bit. You and Julie need the presence of God more than ever now. The devil doesn't want that little boy to be saved. And the devil wants you as the father. The devil wants Julie as the mother. To do harm to that child that can never be repaired. I know this to be true. If we could go around this room today, there are some who could say that when they were being raised, when they were living with mama and daddy, no matter what they did was up to their standard. They could never measure up in any performance, whether it be academics or sports, whatever. So at home, there was always condemnation and criticism. That reflects over into the life of the child. And instead of feeling positive and generous, the child as an adult feels condemnation. There's no abundance in his life to reach out and say, yes, I can do that. In Lodabar, there's no desire to share. There is no real prayer. There is no spirit of appreciation. Some people live in Lodabar, not of their own choosing. A man was in my home yesterday morning. Deep tears streaming down his face. I cannot repair his situation. I know who can. Failed marriages, broken relationships. You know, it takes two people to be in a happy marriage. Two people can be married and stay together all of their life, but one of them still be unhappy. That can take place. Some people live in those circumstances not of their own choosing. If they had a spouse, if they had a mate who would go to church, who would pray, who would be spiritually oriented, quote, they would be so happy. Some of you work. And administration and employment never gives you approval. You are constantly unable to fully measure up. It's no wonder that so many people today become addicted to substance abuse. Others live in Lodabar because of their own choosing. We turn to things that are the opposite of what God would have us to use, and we become prisoners and slaves by choice. We become addicted to that which is unhealthful and unholy and unrighteous, simply because of our own choosing. Have you ever noticed on television why it is that the televangelists have such large audiences? I think I've got a partial solution. When the camera pans out over the thousands of people that show up to worship, they're young people, teenagers. It crosses all age groups. Age, gender, race. You see all represented there. It's because there's a hole in the human heart. People living in Lodabar once they begin to sense there's something a little bit better, they want to get out. They feel crippled. They live in argument. They live in disunity. They live with those who find fault. Don't be surprised someday if you pull into church and on our sign out here it says, if you want a perfect pastor, pray for the one you have. Lodabar represents that challenge in our life that keeps us from being complete in God. So, back to the story. David is the king. He's wealthy. Whatever he wants to eat, it's at his command. Whatever he wants to wear, it's there. His mode of transportation is provided for him. His family has it made. But this guy named Mephibosheth, he's living in Lodabar. And what does Lodabar represent? Challenges of living. He's poor, destitute, hopeless, and crippled. David says, go get him. And so he sends his men to go get Mephibosheth. When they show up down in Lodabar, I promise you, he is thinking, David has sent for me because he's going to kill me. That's what he's been taught all of his life. You have to be in hiding because they will take your life. And these escorts take him back to Jerusalem. And he's scared. Now, big question to you. In verse 8, Mephibosheth is there before David. The Bible describes it this way. He bows himself down. That's okay in Oriental custom, out of respect, but not what he says next. He says, am I a dog? This man that is bowing down there in fear and awesome anxiety has no idea what's about to take place. And the question I ask you is, why was he so afraid? I mean, after all, he's coming out of Lodabar. Any of his relatives are coming out. But why is he so scared? Why is he so challenged, so anxious, so frightened? He doesn't know that David and his father, Jonathan, have an oath. He doesn't know, he is not aware of all the good things that are suddenly about to explode in his life. Why did he not know? Why did he not know of the vow made between Jonathan and King David? Remember now, he's taken away at about 5 years of age. He lives in Lodabar, and people in Lodabar generally do not associate with people in Jerusalem. Why doesn't he know? It's because no one ever told him. How many years he lived there in Lodabar, crippled, unable to walk, with no hope, helpless, if you please, only at the mercy and expense of his friend. Had he simply known, for all of those years, he could have been up there with David in Jerusalem, celebrating the joys of kingship. He was to be treated like a son. And yet he was living in poverty. Yes, he did not know of his promised blessing because no one had ever told him. When you live in Lodabar, sometimes you cannot get out by yourself. He did not reach out to King David because he did not know the story. He didn't know the oath, the promise, the covenant that had been made with his father, Jonathan. So now he's at the king's palace. David tells him, from now on, you are going to eat with me. You are welcome to sit at my table. And I'm going to give you and your family back all the lands that I can that had belonged to Saul. I'm going to give it to you, and you don't even have to plow. You don't have to harvest. We have people who will do all of that for you. You've heard the idea of a rich uncle? Well, this is the king, the rich king. When Mephibosheth moved out of Lodabar into Jerusalem, his life changed forever. Let me share with you some things that are in Jerusalem that you don't find in Lodabar. If you read through the book of Galatians, it becomes very clear that the citizens of that kingdom are not foreigners, but relatives. Adopted into the family of God. Whereas in Lodabar, they have no mercy, no grace, no repentance. This spiritual Jerusalem is filled with grace and mercy and repentance and the will of God. When you're caught in circumstances beyond your control, it would be well if you could remember that even if you cannot move today, if you cannot better your marriage today, if you cannot better your finances today, if you cannot better your addictions, well, really you can, but if you cannot conquer your addictions today, you can plan on moving. You can plan on making it better. Those who live in Jerusalem have something those in Lodabar do not have. They have a Savior. They are not ashamed of their need of a Savior. They take the words in Philippians chapter 3 literally. I will press forward. I don't want to spend all of my time looking back, but I will press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those living in Jerusalem who have left Lodabar know beyond any shadow of doubt that a change is taking place. Whereas there is no prayer in Lodabar, in Jerusalem there is much prayer and thanksgiving. The future is bright for those who live and eat with the king. And how much does it cost? It's free. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. When I first started studying this, I thought, well, the greatest truth in this story is the truth that God is king, Jesus is the Son, And it's through Christ that we can move from our Lodabar, whatever that may be, into the New Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, that's why we sang the song we did in the beginning. I'm a child of the King. Here in Hebrews chapter 13, he actually pins, he writes it down this way. Beginning in verse 18. He says, pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, there is something to this idea that we also are involved in a covenant relationship. There is a promise. It comes from the King Himself, ratified by the blood of Christ, that says, if you are His family, He will bless you, He will honor you, He will sanctify you. That means He will separate you. Every need you have shall be supplied. The problem is moving us from where we are today until at last we hear the great trumpet call of God sounding, and the work is completed. The difficulty is as a Christian community, staying planted where we are now until Christ comes. Because some of us are taken into Lodabar now as believers, but it's not of our own choosing. And I'm telling you, you will come out. You will move. You may leave behind some of that pain and brokenheartedness, but you will move into the New Jerusalem. You are on a spiritual journey. It's as if you have a commander. It is as if you are marching. Your eye is set on Zion. Beautiful Zion. Beautiful Jerusalem. And my prayer is that you let nothing steal that joy away from you. God will make it right. God is going to make it right. He will make you perfect in every good work.